indeed, He is a wonderful Savior to you, a wonderful Savior to me, a wonderful Savior to all who have found safety and refuge in Him. One of the supreme reasons, or the supreme reason, that He is wonderful to me is because He loved me enough to sacrifice His life in my stead. I was condemned to die, but Jesus took my place. He bore it all that I might live. I am eternally grateful that He has done for me what He has done. He has provided me with eternal security. And He has guaranteed me a good life, an abundant life in this life, an eternal life in the world to come. Don't you agree that He's a wonderful Savior to me? Good to be back this evening, and it's good to see each of you back this evening. I can discern by the rhythmic moving of fans through the air that y'all are probably not too cool. So some of you are thinking, I hope you will be not too long. And we will try to accommodate your wishes in consideration of your comfort or lack thereof. We are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. We usually focus almost exclusively, insofar as the figurative language is concerned and the comparison is concerned, focusing on the relationship between a caring and loving shepherd and his sheep as he seeks to provide for them provisions, protection, and guidance. There is a change after you finish with verse number 4. The scene changes. The metaphorical language changes from the shepherd and his sheep to the host and his guests. And we want to just focus on verses 5 and 6, where the Spirit and efforts of a host is seen practiced in these two verses. You see, in the Eastern culture, in that day and time, when they had a feast and you had guests that were invited, at all costs, the guests would do whatever he could to ensure their comfort, to ensure their provisions, to ensure their protection. So the psalmist affirms, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I want you to think about the overflowing cup. A cup running over signifies surplus, signifies more than enough. Signifies the fact that provided for the individual is not just enough to meet the need, but enough to go beyond the need. I used to watch my daddy years ago drink coffee. And he'd have his cup sitting on the saucer. And my mama would fill his cup with coffee. And she would fill it all the way up to the top. And she would keep pouring the coffee in the cup till the coffee spilled out, some of it did, over the sides of the cup and landed in the saucer. A saucer was used at that time as a means of better cooling the hot coffee. And my dad would take that saucer and remove the cup temporarily from it and hold that cup up to his mouth. And sometimes the cup was not even touching his lips. But Dad would suck in his jaws and create a vacuum. And if you look real closely, you could see the coffee leap from the edge of the saucer into Dad's mouth. What he was doing was he was drinking the excess, that which had spilled over the sides of the cup. And he seemed like he enjoyed that as much or more than drinking the coffee directly from the cup. But he always had enough coffee, and he seemed to have been able to enjoy coffee. I used to watch him, and I used to long for the time when I could also partake of coffee. And Mama used to tell us when we were little children, they said, you don't need to drink no coffee. She said, we'll make your head hard. Sometimes, y'all have heard that, sometimes we stole some coffee or we secured some coffee without Mama's knowledge. And I used to drink quite a bit of it. Maybe that's the reason my head is hard today. But that's what Mama used to say. That's just an old wives' tale. But I used to drink coffee, especially when I worked at night. But be that as it was, when I think about a cup running over, I think about more than enough. I think about excess. And then I think about Jesus providing us with more than enough. Amen. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We have access to the abundant life. We have more than enough. So we as Christians, I just like to describe us as saucer drinkers, because God has provided us with an excess in providing us with the abundant life. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments on the secret of saucer drinking. I'm going to tell you, first of all, what the secret of saucer drinking is not. And I want to mention three things about saucer drinking. First, saucer drinking is not dependent on ideal external circumstances. Just wanted to see and check and see if that was on. I know I don't have the lapel mic, but I'll just stand here in front of this mic, and hopefully you'll be able to hear me. Am I coming through okay? Okay, all righty. But salsa drinking is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. And we see that in verse number 5 of the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There are a number of places in sacred scripture that verify the fact that salsa drinking is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. Look at Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 25. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Were these salsa drinkers that were in prison? Were these salsa drinkers that had been beaten? Were these the recipients of the abundant life? Indeed, they were. Were they salsa drinkers? They were. The Bible lets us know, verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were overflowing. Their hearts were overflowing with joy. Their hearts were overflowing with praises to God. Their hearts were overflowing with prayer. Despite the discomfort, despite the pain, despite the lacerated backs, despite their feet fast in the stocks, they still were enjoying the abundant life because they had discovered the secret of salsa drinking. Not only that, salsa drinking is not dependent on the absence of problems. You know, some people feel like that in order to have the abundant life, in order to enjoy the abundant life, life should be smooth sailing. Life should be without storms. Life should be without challenges. Life should be placid and peaceful without the challenges of the difficulties and trials and tribulations of life. But such is not the case. Acts chapter 5, verses 41 through 42, the apostles had been arrested and imprisoned, and then they had been beaten. They were beaten severely. And you ask the question, were these salsa drinkers? Were these the recipients of the abundant life? Indeed, they were. And we see where their joy overflowed, even after having been beaten. Acts 5, 41 and 42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They had been beaten, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were salsa drinkers, but their salsa drinking status was not dependent on the absence of problems. They had plenty of problems. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 2, we find that the Macedonians were also saucer drinkers. They were poor folk. They didn't have much. The Bible says in verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They scraped the bottom of the barrel so they would be able to have a part in the special ministry. They didn't have much. They had tough times, but yet they had an abundance of joy. They were indeed saucer drinkers. Not only is that the case, but saucer drinking is not dependent upon the presence of riches. Notice what Jesus says, and some of us think that if I had $1 million, if I won the lottery, if I received a great inheritance, it would be the end of my troubles. My sorrows would cease. My problems would dissipate into the atmosphere of prosperity. But that's not the case. How can I be happy? How can I be a saucer drinker? How can I experience prosperity if I don't have any riches? Riches are overrated. Now, some people say that you're just saying that because you ain't got no riches. Some folks say those who claim money can't buy happiness just don't know where to shop. Money can precipitate a spirit of misery and a spirit of distrust, a spirit of negativity, a spirit of covetousness, a spirit of pride. So riches are not all they're cracked up to be. Notice the words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He gives a warning to those who are rich. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. If you want to be a saucer drinker, invest your trust in the living God. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute or share, and willing to communicate. Jesus gave a warning in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said to the inquiring son who asked about his inheritance being divided fairly between his brother and himself, Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. What Jesus is saying, that you can experience the saucer drinking lifestyle without having an abundance of material goods or material riches. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Saucer drinking is not dependent upon the external. It's not dependent upon the absence of problems. It's not dependent upon the presence of riches. Well, on what does saucer drinking depend? I can say unequivocally, I can say very simply, that if you want to enjoy the saucer drinking lifestyle, You need to gain entrance into Christ. Ephesians 1:3 lets us know where all spiritual blessings are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you are in Christ, you can embrace and have access to the saucer drinking lifestyle. All spiritual blessings are available to each and every Christian. And you say, well, what about the physical blessings? Well, he provides us with physical blessings as well as spiritual blessings. But the most important blessings are the spiritual blessings that are found only in Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to enjoy a saucer-drinking lifestyle, you need to be in Christ and you need to have the peace of God that is provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what else you have, no matter what material riches you have, if you don't have the peace of God that passes understanding, that comes from the God of peace, you are deprived. And your lifestyle is deficient. Your lifestyle is lacking. If you want to enjoy saucer drinking living, you need to be in Christ and enjoy the peace of God. You have the assurance that the Lord's going to look out for you and that he's going to take care of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's saucer drinking. That's saucer drinking living. And it's available to us who are God's children. If you want to enjoy saucer drinking by virtue of being in Christ, you have access to an abundance, an inexhaustible supply of resources that are available to you as a child of God in the great repository of heaven. The Lord will take care of all that we need, physically and spiritually. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, the needed material things, God will provide for you. And you can have the assurance as a saucer drinker that the Lord is looking out for you, watching out for you, and he's ever there with an attentive ear. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Are you a saucer drinker today? Are you taking full advantage of all of the benefits that are available to you in Christ Jesus? Are you living below your exalted privilege as a child of God? We can be saucer drinkers if we operate and tap into the spiritual blessings that are available to us. Somebody wrote a poem that I'd like to close with. I've never made a fortune, and I'll probably not make one now, but it really doesn't matter, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. I go along life's journey, reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have many riches. Sometimes the going's tough. But while my family still loves me, I think I'm rich enough. I thank God for his blessings, for the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong and my faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from the saucer cause my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the road grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings cause I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help bear another's load. I'm drinking from the saucer cause my cup has overflowed. That's a privilege that every child of God has, to be a saucer drinker, to experience the abundant life in this life and in the world to come. Eternal life indeed. If you are not enjoying a saucer drinking lifestyle, if you're living beneath your exalted privilege as a blessed child of God, if you're already a Christian, but if you have fallen, if you have faltered, if you have failed, if you have left the tested path of truth and right, and now are not sharing in the saucer drinking lifestyle by virtue of being separated from God by sin, you can take the necessary remedial measures this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer. Sometimes when we have very special membership in certain organizations, like a Sam's Club membership, and if you don't go and renew that Sam's Club membership, you can't receive the benefits that come with that membership. And you can drop out, whether intentionally or just through negligence, and lose your membership, and you go in there, show that old card, it doesn't count. But you can renew your membership by paying another fee. You can renew your membership as a child of God who has fallen by repentance, confession, and prayer. Why not become a saucer drinker again and enjoy the abundant life once more as we together stand and as we sing?